Welcome to the Tuesday Ira Kaufman podcast. And it's a somber day because, gosh, the Bucks are 1-2 and we're still in stunned disbelief that the immortal Case Keenum had quite a day. But that's for Ira Kaufman to talk about. It's his podcast presented by Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Ira, welcome. Your thoughts, your reaction.
Thank you, Steven. Steve, it's a day later, gentlemen. I'm still trying to get over the fact I believe they've lost five games in five consecutive years to the Rams. Obviously, it doesn't matter if they're playing in St. Louis or Los Angeles. Jeff Fisher has their number. The only time I ever hear Jeff Fisher's name is from people saying, why has he still got a job? Well, if he played the Bucks every week, he'd be going to the Super Bowl. What is going on with the Rams' mastery over this ball club?
Well, we're going to throw that back on you, Ira, because this is the Ira Kaufman podcast. What is going on here? What the hell's going on, period? The hell with just the Rams?
The explanation is that this is a franchise that doesn't know how to win. They don't know how to win these games. These games are there for the taking, for the most part, other than, you know, not the Arizona game. But when the game hangs in the balance, gentlemen, this team usually doesn't get the job done.
What's really galling is that the Bucks have made Case Keenum, and this was right up your alley, Ira. Only people above the age of 60 know this guy, although I'm a football wannabe historian. But the Bucks make Case Keenum look like Bob Waterfield.
Bob Waterfield. That's a little before my time, DeKemper. Don't put me in a wheelchair.
Maybe, the only difference is there's no Jane Russell.
You know, maybe...
Way over my head, fellas.
Maybe you can go back to the mid-60s, but he's pushing me into the 50s over here, Steve.
Jane Russell was kind of like the Emily Ratajkowski of her day, and she was married to Bob Waterfield.
They were guys, the Bucks had every chance to take the sting away from the Arizona debacle. All they had to do was win a game that the Vegas odds makers thought they were going to win against a team. Steve, now I know you got Atlanta in the Super Bowl. Leave a little room for the Rams. against a team that's probably going to win six games this year, the Rams. And the Rams didn't even play particularly good defense today, no. And that's their forte. And Steve, you know, now 1-2, and here comes Denver. You know, who Broncos look better than last year.
Very impressive.
Very impressive. The Panthers are in an ugly mood already. That game's on the road on a Monday night. There's going to be a lot of, ballyhoo about that game. So I'm not saying they're resigned to 1-4, but I think at this point it would be a surprise if they're not 1-4.
Well, big picture stuff aside right now, let's put aside the big picture, Ira. Sunday, this team goes out, and you know, we saw what happened. Nobody predicted the Rams would rack up points like it's going out of style.
We didn't think it was going to be a shootout, Steve.
And nobody thought the Bucks would move the ball so easily and put up all those points as well. So what I got to ask you, Ira, is who do you hang that game on? I mean, where do you hang that loss on? Do you put it on Aguayo, knowing how much he changed the game and changed the offense for both teams in the game
planning?
Gentlemen,
while Aguayo is becoming a major issue, and I'll be the first one to say it.
Becoming.
He didn't lose this game. Where is this vaunted pass rush that we've been hearing about all during the preseason? And we're not going to blame this on little Jacquees Smith, are we?
Thank you.
Or Robert Ayers. I beg your pardon, Mr. Isbitz. Case Keenum doesn't move. Matt Ryan doesn't move, and neither does Carson Palmer.
Well, here's one for you.
These guys can't be moved off their spot. That's a major problem.
You're teeing me up, Ira. I wrote this Sunday night, right after the game, about this. We've been hearing this for 10 freaking years. This has become a franchise that's incompetent about getting a pass rush. You could look at Bruce Allen, Chucky, Lovey, Dominic, Raheem, Shannon.
Rockstar Mark Dominic.
And now we're on to AC/DC loving Jason Light and still knows no stinking pass rush. All this past week, I hear about Howard Jones is so talented. How the team is so lucky to have Howard Jones.
They can blitz. They can do things.
You would have thought Howard Jones is too tall Jones. Where the hell was he Sunday? I mean, enough of this crap.
On those two long touchdown passes, Case Keenum had all day. That's unacceptable.
He did have all day. He had a lot of time. I think probably the more puzzling question is, I understand the lack of the four-man pass rush right now because, yes, I'm going to go the Jacquees Smith card because the guy proved he could make some plays. No Robert Ayers today, Big loss. He's clearly their best pass rusher. Noah Spence, not ready yet. I'm okay with the DNs. But here's my question for you, Ira. Why are the Bucs repeatedly blitzing and they don't get there? They don't get there against, like you said, immobile quarterbacks. The blitzes, they don't get there. That second touchdown by Case Keenum. Blitz comes. Impotent.
The one to Tavano Austin down the left side?
Yeah. That made Keith Tandy look like a ballerina.
Absolutely.
Here's one for you real quick.
Why doesn't the blitz get there?
Well, I think you're cutting him too much slack with the Jacquees Smith thing. I understand he had 7 sacks, but he was supposed to be part of a big, big mix of flexible players. Golston goes inside. Golston goes outside. Howard Jones, as Lee Howard is mentioning. You got a Pro Bowl defensive tackle. You got McDonald. Boy, I'll tell you what.
Howard Balzer would be a better pass rusher.
The sum of the parts don't equal the parts, apparently. So whatever the reason, they got to get it fixed because here comes Demaryius Thomas, and they got a good passing attack. And, you know, while the secondary has had its weak moments, and I'm sure we'll get into that, it's got to start up front, and it's not starting up front.
The only thing with the pass rush that I'm going to add is it's you know, Steve's referring to injuries. Jack Smith, it hurt. Guess what? Minnesota lost a starting quarterback and an all-pro running back, and they go to Carolina and punked them.
And their left tackle.
Yeah.
And their left tackle's gone.
And they're beating competent teams on the road, so come on.
New England's playing without their quarterback, without Gronkowski the first 2 weeks.
Third-string rookie.
They go to Arizona, they win. So, you know, it's disappointing, Steve. It's just disappointing.
Good teams don't use injuries as a crutch.
And I guess Cutter talked about a losing culture. You were there up front and close to Dirk Cutter. I don't know if I like that because, to me, it's sort of bringing in the past, and I don't think we're interested in what happened in 2012.
Yeah, I'll say this, and here we are, of course, on the Ira Kaufman podcast, brought to you by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Make sure you hit their websites. Past the Saving Sales event still going on, EdMorseCadillacTampa.com and EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. I'm Steve Isbitz, other voice Lee DeCamper. Ira, of course, refers to us. We're the Joes at JoeBucksFan.com. Now, Ira, crap. What was your question? You had a nice question.
Well, let's get to clock management a little bit, Steve.
It was culture. You were talking culture.
It was culture.
So
yes.
I had a senior moment there, Ira. So here's the thing. Cutter wasn't asked about the culture of losing. I don't think anybody would ask him that 3 games into his tenure. It would be kind of rough. But he went there on his own, saying that this team just, there's something's wrong with the culture. It starts with me, but he said it was very interesting, very passionate, very telling. He said, I've been on teams that have that winning culture, and we don't have it. And you can just feel it, that we don't have it. It's on me. We got to fix it. I don't know what it is, but it was very telling when the coach is like, hey, man, we just don't have it. We don't have what it takes to win a game here at home against a team like this.
I hope he's not trying to deflect the blame, a little bit of the blame off him and his coaching staff, Lee, because Quan Alexander's been here 1 year. No culture of losing. Vernon Hargraves, no culture, no Spence. That's a little bit too broad brushed for me.
It is, but I wrote a post Sunday night where I just basically call out the Bucs. Twice Jameis Winston in his very short NFL career. Matter of fact, twice in the past, 6 games? He's said, if we had enough players that cared about winning, in so many words. Now you got Cutter basically saying the same thing. So I'm like, okay, your starting quarterback has said it. Your head coach has said it. It's time to jump on it. And I said, this roster needs a house clean. Anybody before 2014, it's not like they're winning with these guys. So if you're going to lose, you might as well start from scratch and get some guys in.
This is Jason Light's 3rd year. Shouldn't the house cleaning almost be done?
Well, let me tell you how I
think it started Friday night.
The scary thing, Ira, it's scary because we're big supporters of America's quarterback, Jameis Winston. Hey, the bottom line is this game was in Jameis's hands, and he didn't know how to win it. He didn't know how to win this game. He made some mistakes, made some rough throws, made clear mistakes on the final drive. He didn't know how to put the game away, which when he get it to the NFL, everybody was like, this guy knows how to put a game away. So I took a little bit of that as Jameis being in that mix, which is scary. He's young, but it's scary for the head coach who just watched his team march down and his quarterback fell apart. So I hope they can rectify this, but it's scary because Cutter was lumping the quarterback into that.
I think one thing that we haven't mentioned, and I wrote it in my observations yesterday, is that the offense doesn't have enough balance. There's no balance over
here.
No,
there's no balance.
Now, granted, they're not running the ball well, but I don't think you can ask a second-year quarterback to throw 58 passes, gentlemen. I don't believe that's a formula for winning.
That's true, but I think Charles Sims has proven he's not a decent runner. He's a good pass catcher. He's not a decent runner. I think that was, you know, if you want to call one game proven, okay. But, you know, prior to the game, Dirk Koetter many times, oh, we're confident in Charles Sims. He could do it, blah, blah. Well, he didn't show it. He's a good pass catcher, good receiver out of the backfield. As a runner, he's got a lot to prove yet.
They're throwing on two-thirds of their snaps,
yeah,
Steve.
Yeah, I mean, throwing 58 times, that's even in the modern NFL, that's an extraordinary number. And they ran at 22. They didn't really get anything going. And, you know, you look a little bit deeper, though. They were 8-for-16
on third down.
And 2-for-2 on fourth down. So they were converting. They were moving the ball. But there is no balance. You wrote about the offensive line, Ira, last week, that it was their put-up or shut-up time.
Yes, yes.
And, yeah, they had some injuries in the game, which probably didn't help them. But they pass block, but the run isn't there.
For whatever reason, their pass blocking has been exemplary.
Very good.
Very good. But they're not opening up the same holes as last year. Even when Doug Martin was playing, he didn't have that kind of success. And last year, they averaged 4.8 yards a carry. That's very gaudy. Mm-hmm. You don't see that often.
Yeah.
This year, they were about 3.6. Big difference.
And that took a lot of heat off of Winston, obviously. They take a heat off any quarterback, a rookie or a 12-year vet.
I thought the job they did on Aaron Donald was extraordinary.
Well, what was interesting was, I don't know if you were there for Jameis' press conference. I'm not going to out the guy, but somebody asked him a stat geeky question about Donovan Smith, and Donovan Smith is Lucifer to these stat geeks. They did despise Donovan Smith. And so
he was the left tackle on an offense that broke franchise records last year.
Yeah,
so
let's remember
that.
So player.
Anyway, there was a stat geeky question that they had about James. I didn't catch the question. I sure got the response. Jameis got, I mean, it lit Jameis up. He got, you know, a question about Donovan Smith, and Jameis snapped. He said, how many times did Robert Quinn touch me today?
I agree.
Once.
I agree with Winston. I agree. Now, it was a big play. A huge play.
Yeah, a huge
but,
play.
But, you
sure.
know, if he just sacks him and not strips him, mm-hmm. nobody's talking about Donovan Smith. But the play happened. Smith also had a penalty or two. That
and
was
Robert
critical.
Quinn's one of the best defensive ends in the country. So, I'm not going to crucify any left tackle that lets him get by once. You know, sometimes the opponents get a paycheck.
Quinn had 19 sacks a few years ago.
Yeah, forget about it. I mean, with this, if we're talking in a little data conversation here, the Bucs dropped back to pass 58 times. You do that, you're going to get...
Sooner or later.
You're going to hit a few times.
That's right.
And get sacked a couple of times. It's just numbers. That's just pure numbers. Bucs O-line did a good job pass blocking. Nobody will deny that when they watch the film. But Ira, let's go directly to Aguayo, because a lot of fans are just outraged because of where he was drafted and the whole impact of the thing and what do you do now? And clearly, I think we can all agree here, maybe I'm wrong, but something is wrong with Roberto Aguayo. He's not the player he was in college. He's not bounced back from whatever ailed him in the preseason.
He doesn't look confident.
He's a mess. He missed his last field goal in Arizona. No pressure. And both of today's kicks, no pressure. Extra point and a 41-yard field goal early in the game. It's a troubling spot.
In the preseason, correct me if I'm wrong. Was he missing wide right in the preseason? Because now it's wide left.
He was all over the map.
I don't know.
But Steve makes the point, Lee, and it's the right point. If Aguayo was a free agent pickup, there'd still be concern about the Buck kicking situation.
Mm-hmm. Even a fifth-round pick.
Yeah, but maybe even a fifth-round pick. But the facts concerning Aguayo and how he was obtained makes this a huge story going forward.
Especially, I mean, I know they drafted Noah Spence. And by the way, I'd love to see him on the field a little bit. You know, he's supposed to be this great pass rusher. And I understand rookies struggle as pass rushing specialists in the NFL. But son of a gun, can we see something from Noah Spence? I know he got a sack last week, but goodness gracious. But anyway, when you a team that needs a wide receiver, I think that's pretty glaring right now.
A safety? Yeah.
A safety, yeah. I think that's secondary. But a wide receiver... A pass rusher, second round, and you get a kicker. I mean, that's really, at the time, I understand Light's logic. I still don't agree that he should have done it. I understand his logic. His logic makes sense. But you got glaring holes like that. You could pick up kickers. They're a dime a dozen.
Automatically, that puts a spotlight
on
that player.
And pressure.
Automatically.
Yes.
Automatically.
Yes.
Well, I'll go back to what I asked you before. What do you do now? You just sort of wait it out? Because we know reality would say if this was Connor Barth, let's just say it was Connor Barth, we'd have another kicker in the building Tuesday competing for a job.
I think you're absolutely
right. So what do you do now? You just sort of kick back and what do you do?
This puts Jason Light's in an impossible situation here because he wants to give the kid, he wants to show the kid confidence. We're behind you. Now you got Dirk Cutter saying, we got to win some ball games. You know, and of course Jason Light wants to win too, but you know, he's the guy that drafted, not Dirk Cutter. His, you know, he's got to tell, the Glazers are looking at Jason Light. They're not looking at Dirk Cutter over picking Robert Aguayo.
Yeah.
So it's a very, very tough spot for Light. You said, what do you do? I think you bring in some competition.
I would be, I got to be honest.
Because this is the second time around.
I got to be honest. I would be absolutely floored, shocked if they brought someone in and or cut him, because Jason Light's basically putting himself out of the cleft by doing
that. I didn't say anything about cutting.
Well,
about
there are fans out there thinking you ought to be cut. I'm like, you're out of your mind.
That's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen.
If Jason does that, he's putting himself on the spit.
Investiture.
No, I'm just asking you what you think.
I think I got to bring in some competition because this is the second time around for a while.
Well, if you bring in, if we follow the logic, you bring in competition. And Dirk Cutter likes the guy you bring in. He looks money and likes him, whoever it is. Pick a name, doesn't matter. Well, are you prepared to roll with two kickers? Because you don't want to lose Aguayo, but you know it's wacky.
You put Aguayo on a short leash, Lee, and you say, you know, if this continues, we're going to have to make a move.
Logically, it makes sense, but where he was drafted, I can't see that. But here's one for you to add on to that. Let's say you bring in a kicker for a tryout. Does that make Aguayo wig out for good? Does that make him a mental patient with all that pressure?
You find out something about the kid.
Well, yeah. I personally think it's not a bad idea. If he's that weak and fragile, maybe you want to know it now.
Yeah.
But it's a tough spot. But I think they'll see what happens at the bye week, get a bigger picture of 10 kicks and... but it's scary right now because, frankly, I think you could really make a good case that it cost them the game today.
Oh, sure you could.
It
affected a lot of strategy.
There is, you know, for the people that want Aguayo cut so bad, remember what Jason Light, his famous saying, he said he learned from Bill Belichick. I know you don't like it when I say that. But
I understand.
Move on from your losses. Cut your losses and move on. Admit your mistake, cut your losses, don't let them fester.
A tricky spot, and I think the Aguayo will wrap up Aguayo with, I think in very much here, Dirk Cutter holds the cards on Aguayo. Because ultimately, he's the guy who has to be confident to put the kicker out there. And he's the guy who's going to walk into to Jason Light's office, if it doesn't get fixed, and say, don't ask me to freaking coach this team without a kicker.
And what's Light going to say at that point?
What's
he going to say?
Yeah, I mean, Cutter's been around all these years. He's like, hey, man, I can't kick the ball. You're asking me to win without a kicker with a young team. Give me a break. Ira, anything else?
Yes,
out of that
the subject
game?
That you don't want to talk about.
What's that? Austin
Spider
Jenkins?
Poor clock management.
Oh, talk about it.
All right, let's talk about it. Let's put it like this. I'm going to draw this scenario out for you, you gentlemen. You can use rock star all you want in America's quarterback, but I want you to put a pretty bow on this one. The game ended with you on the 5-yard line, and the clock ran out, and it was going to be third down. Those are the facts. Even Isbitz can't dispute that. It was going to be third down from the 5-yard line. Instead, you didn't get another snap. So my point is,
there were 5 seconds left.
I understand.
Okay.
Sims caught a 12-yard pass, and there was no timeout. Tick, tick, tick. I think it was between 15 and 20 seconds. That's my estimate of the time that was wasted. Mm-hmm. And then the game ends with a timeout in the bank. Gentlemen,
yeah.
I rest my case to the jury. Terrible job by Cutter. He's going to have to do better.
Well, Steve will respond to this because he was at Dirk Cutter's press conference where this very subject was discussed. I wasn't there. I was at Jameis's, but not Cutter's. I just went nuts when I saw Sims not get out of bounds. He's sitting there dancing like Fred Astaire.
Fair point.
And you know, when you dance like that, two things happen. One, when you dance like that, like you think you're Terry Metcalf, only you're stationary.
And
you're,
the Rams are letting them dance.
If you're stationary, that gives the defense an opportunity to respond, to react to you. That was dumb. And like I said, Steve will speak to this in a moment, but him not getting out of bounds. Now, Steve will say why he didn't get out of bounds, but he's sitting there Dotty, 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 da. Get out of bounds, you fool.
I'm not exonerating Charles Sims.
Well, I'm going to exonerate Charles Sims very simply. Two timeouts left when Sims decided to not go out and pick up an extra 5 yards. One, he got a first down on that play. They needed the first down. Two, Cutter could have just called timeout. No loss there.
I thought you were about to tell me that Cutter didn't do anything wrong.
So in the clock, you're the one. I didn't say that. You opened this thing by telling me I didn't want to talk about it. I'm happy to talk about it. The clock management error by Cutter, in my opinion, was, okay, Sims cuts inside, gets you a first down, extra 4 or 5 yards, call timeout. He didn't call timeout. That was the problem. I asked Cutter very I asked Cutter very simply in the press conference, hey, Charles Sims caught a pass, didn't get out of bounds. Did you want him to get out there, or did you want him to try to cut up field and make a play? Let's at least acknowledge that Sims is the guy who does make those plays in the open field for the Bucs.
And he got the first down.
He made that play in Atlanta, which got them a touchdown. In the same spot, he caught the ball. There he juked six
guys.
Oh, I got
a lot more problem with Cutter than I have with Charles Sims.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I mean, you can juke in Atlanta. This is with the Rams defense we're talking about here.
But anyway, I asked Cutter, was this a problem? Or did what? And Cutter said, we tell the guys, if you have timeouts in the bag and you think you can make a play, go for it. Sims made a good football play.
Why didn't he call timeout?
He should have called timeout. I'll give
you that. Didn't Sims have ample chance to get out of bounds after he got the first down? And let's remember, this isn't college where the clock stops when you get a first down.
I don't know. He was clearly trying to make a play.
Cutter didn't say why he didn't call timeout.
He said it was a good football play by Sims, and he didn't address not calling timeout. But either way, I mean, a couple plays later, the fans have all seen the game 20 times already. Vincent Jackson.
Are you picking on 83 again?
Wide open at the pylon. Jameis messes up the throw. And Jameis said, I missed it. He said it 3-4 times in his press conference. So
I want to do a little shout out to Adam Humphries. I thought he had a heck of a game.
Yes, he did.
Adam Humphries had a heck of a game today. He really did. Evans is a monster. I mean, there's no question. He's got Pro Bowl written all over him.
He's improved from last year, that's for sure.
You know, but Humphries came up big, and Brate showed that he's a red zone, the guy that Austin Seferian Jenkins was supposed to be.
Since you brought up his name, we might as well get the cat out of the bag. Your reaction to Austin Seferian
Jenkins.
That's
right, Steve. We haven't even talked about ASJ, so, since it happened.
Hopefully he defecated.
You know what? Here's what I'll say, and I think I don't think you guys will disagree. The dash cam video tells us all we need to know about the man. was possibly about to walk away with no ticket. We would have never known about the incident, and he's still on the football team, as immature as he is. Somehow, he can't stop talking. And next thing you know, did you see the way they had him locked up under his knees? It was looked like something out of the movie Freaks from 1927.
or the horror story. He said he wanted to go to his quarterback's house.
You know
to
what?
Watch.
I applaud the Buck decision to dump him immediately because this is not an isolated incident.
No. It was.
Now, I've taken a lot of needling on the ASJ subject. I told you he was done a while ago. And then you're telling me 60 catches, investiture.
Well, they gave him a chance. I mean, you said they weren't going to give him a chance.
He ran out of rope.
He obviously has a problem. He has a personal problem. I think Cutter said as much.
You know what? The problem actually is what's known as buffoonism. He's a buffoon. The guy's a buffoon.
It manifests in another problem.
I mean, maybe. He's a moron. I mean, it's just what
he got what he deserved. I don't really feel bad for him.
I think I could say this, and I won't go into detail. It's completely, when someone says off the record to me, it's sacrosanct.
Right.
I heard something about him at his rookie combine, and I'm not going to say what it was.
But it was a red flag.
Well, let's just say that everything that happened since then, knowing what I heard about his rookie combine, nothing was a surprise. Nothing was a surprise.
Yeah, they took a shot.
Rolled the dice.
He didn't work out, and that's okay. They weren't relying on him significantly this year, I don't think. And they just rolled up 30-something points without him. Nobody missed him today.
But he factors into the Aguayo equation because
sure. He
was second round pick.
Daquan Bowers.
All these things count.
Ryan Price.
They all count.
No, they all count when you're looking at the scope of the assessing
portfolio,
evaluating your management.
The curse of the second round picks with the Bucks. Dexter Jackson,
and he wants to see more out of Noah Spence. you know, so we'll see.
I do too. Everybody listening does.
And I'm
as
not
well.
Anti-Noah Spence.
He's a rookie DE. I got to give the guy, you know, at least half a year to, you know.
I would too, but when all these injuries are mounting.
And they're not rushing the passer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, where is he?
I mean, he wasn't against the Rams. He wasn't a liability against the run. I mean, the Rams, I think, grinded out like 4.2 yards a carry on 35 carries. They ran the ball, but it wasn't.
We're not turning the page on Noah Spence.
No. If Jack Smith was healthy, Ayers was healthy, all these guys are healthy. He's not logging plays. No. So what? But with all these injuries, come on.
With all due honesty, Steve, and I'm going to say it because you two guys don't have the guts to say it, but I'll say it.
Come on, Eric.
This defense gets a D right now.
Yes.
This is a D.
Yes.
After 3 weeks.
Last seven
you
got
to get to B minus.
No, it's
you don't
be...
have to get to A, but I want to see B minus. Right now, you're a D.
No, it's
am I too harsh, young man?
No, even a C would be fans would be thankful.
I'll give the defense a D minus because they what have they done?
Case Keenum.
What have they done?
You know,
Atlanta. They did okay.
They made a stop against Atlanta. In the fourth quarter, did they? I mean.
Yeah, you know, they did. You know, they
last seven quarters have been terrible.
They won the game, but they didn't play well in Atlanta.
Run defense has been good.
Yeah.
The pass defense has been terrible.
You wouldn't say they played well in Atlanta. They played well enough, and then it's been all downhill from there.
Now, here's an irony, guys. I was just thinking of this. Last year, pass defense, terrible. Deplorable, a basket of deplorables. Steve, 70% completions. Lee, you've heard
Major
me.
Major Wright and who else?
Lee,
the basket of deplorables.
You've heard me talk, you know, 70%. I always throw that out there. But, Steve, one thing they did well. They didn't allow a lot of long balls last year.
Yeah.
Not a lot. This year, it's bombs away. Guys are wide open.
Mm-hmm.
Guys are getting, you know, Conte, you know, Tandy.
Werner wasn't bad against the Rams.
I count there have been six completions, as I wrote, of 40 or more yards through 3 weeks.
No.
So what would you rather have? Getting pecked to death up and down the field or bombs away?
Yeah,
to
the defense, they occasionally got off the field on third down, which Lovie could never do.
Occasionally.
Yeah, Rams were 6 of 13 on
third
down.
That's not good enough against the Rams. That's not good enough.
No, not good enough against Case Keenum, but Keenum. The defense is not... not playing well.
Now, let's hurtle towards conclusion here, gentlemen. And look, we've been negative, and we should be. But if they can get it together, Buffalo spanked Arizona today. Mm-hmm. I mean, they did.
Well, that's just it. All these rotten teams are upsetting good teams.
If they could be 2-2 by beating Denver, we're looking at this totally differently. Because then it would be at worst 2-3. And we said 2-3 at the break isn't that bad. But they missed an opportunity.
What percentage of your significant contract with JoeBucksFan.com would you lay on the table that the Bucks are going to beat the Broncos?
But you might have said the same thing about Buffalo today against
Arizona.
But
why would I talk about Buffalo? Come on, if my grandma was here. I mean, come on, you know? What is this?
Look, Denver looks good, guys. Denver looks good. But, you know, every week there's 3 or 4 upsets. And... they're going to have to play a lot better than they did.
When's the last time the Bucs pulled an upset? Seriously. I'm off the top of my head. I can't think of one. It's been a couple of years.
Well, maybe it's been a while.
When they beat the Giants?
They got to play a lot better than they played Sunday. That's all I'm saying.
Ira, I'll say this, and you can comment or say goodbye here on the Ira Kaufman podcast, presented by Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon.
And big deals going on over there, Stephen.
Huge deals. Pass the Saving Sales event through this month. Now... I'll say this. I wrote this on JoeBucksFan.com over the weekend. It's time for Jameis to step up.
You're on Winston a little bit. You're on him a
well,
little
he
bit.
Deserves it. He deserves it. I we love him. Love the guy. Not abandoning him. But I think it was Saturday morning. I wrote that the guy's got to step up and show that he's a franchise quarterback and not let this team go 1-4 into the bye. Somehow, some way, if you're a franchise quarterback – You lead your team to victory and you avoid ugly situations. The minute I knew Josh Freeman was not a franchise quarterback was when they lost 10 in a row in 2011. No franchise quarterback loses 10 in a row. And somehow Winston's got to stop the bleeding. He had the chance against the Rams and he fell apart. Final
Lee,
drive.
Lee, only his bits after a 37-32 setback It wants to focus on the guy under the under center.
He didn't. He missed too many.
Did he play great? No. Did he play poorly? No. No. He did not.
He played poorly when they needed him the most.
Exactly.
He played poorly when they needed him the most.
I saw 32 points on that board that should have been 36 points.
Well, you also got a pick six.
You got a pick six.
So we'll dial it back to.
Okay.
Which wasn't his fault at all.
No. He's talking about the Buck defense.
Buck defense got a pick six. They also got a turnover deep in there. And, of course, Aguayo missed some, so that's a different angle.
You didn't like that last drive.
Jameis played better than he did in Arizona, but he didn't have a good game today. That you wouldn't put this in, oh, great game for Jameis. No, I wouldn't.
But I wouldn't name him my number one culprit.
Yeah, this is one of those games where his detractors say he just racks up stats. This is one of those games. He racked up stats, but when he needed the most, when the game was on the line and winnable, cough, gag.
Not down on him, but we have to have high expectations. Otherwise, we're doomed to...
He's the number one overall pick.
You beat the Rams at home. The Rams.
Well, as good as the Rams defense is, it's pretty good. Denver's is better.
Yeah.
And Carolina's is better.
That's why I don't see...
To your point, he does have to step it up.
He's got to step it up. All right, Ira, parting shots?
Parting shots. Buck Nation's in mourning, gentlemen. Understood. I've never seen a game quite like this with the lightning delay and the home opener. I'll tell you one thing. Scoreboard looked good. The video boards looked good. The final result looked awful.
Not nearly enough cheerleader shots on the big boards. I was very surprised about
Steve.
That.
So, you know, that HD is beautiful, isn't it, Lee? Absolutely beautiful.
All right.
Till next time, we'll talk Broncos a little bit. You say Bucks have no shot. The Kemper says absolutely 0% chance.
I never said they had no shot.
I'm holding out hope.
I will stick with zero.
I'll say this. The Broncos will be favored, gentlemen. The Broncos will be favored.